Well, we just sang it, but are you desperate for Him?
Amen.
I mean, really?
Amen.
Are we desperate for Him?
Amen.
Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to, as I read through this scripture, I want you to listen for the heart of God for the family. Okay? Listen for the heart of God for the family. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. I want you to hear that. We're Christ and the church becoming one flesh. This is a profound mystery. I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate, another word there is provoke, your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we know you are here. We ask you to speak in power and authority and change us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're entering week two of this sermon series, 40 Days of Convincing Proofs. And this relates back to Acts chapter 1 when in verse 3 it says that after his suffering, speaking of Christ, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And we talked last week as we were setting up this series that now that Christ has been resurrected and he has spent that 40 days post-resurrection teaching and proving people that he indeed was the resurrected Christ and what that meant and the significance of it. And then he ascended and he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And now we, church, are his convincing proofs that he is alive. No pressure. But that's it. We are now the many convincing proofs that he is alive. Today we're gonna continue that series, and this week we're gonna be talking about loving your family. You know, the way that at the very heart, at the very essence of how Jesus proved that he was alive. Number one, he was walking and talking among them, but he loved. That's the ultimate proof. When he had every reason, think about it, what had just happened to him 3 days earlier, he had every reason to condemn the church, to condemn his friends, to condemn all of the people that abandoned him and deserted him and rejected him and falsely accused him. But no, instead of doing what maybe perhaps we might do, he loved. So this week, this passage today, God is speaking to us about husbands, wives, children, and parents. Nobody gets off the hook with this one. We may not be two or three of those, but we're somebody's kid. Okay? We're at least someone's child. Now, it reminds me, this passage, it's like God's word there's so much here in Ephesians 5. There's so much here, and he's basically looking at the relationship of the family. God himself is a very relational God. Relationship is at the very core of who he is. Even the Godhead himself, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Do you hear the relationship right there in who he is? And then we see where God sent Christ as the bridegroom of the church, and the church is the bride. Do you hear that, the relational nature of God himself? And then the way he has constructed the family, husband and wife and child, there's this relationship, and God used the Christ as the bridegroom and us, his disciples, as the bride, the church. He used that to show us how to be a family. To show us how to be a family, how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a child. So let's look a little closer on this idea of loving family, and let's look at Jesus' example of loving the family. Number one, Jesus loved his Father, and he was an obedient son. He loved his Father, and he was an obedient son. I love this passage out of John 17 when Jesus is heading to the cross. He knows what awaits him, and here's what he says in one of his last prayers that he said. Jesus, in John 17, he says, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, there's that relationship, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Hello. I mean, that was the whole purpose of Christ's obedience, was to bring glory to the Father. And it also, by the way, saved you and I. Not a small thing. Mark, again, Jesus speaking to the Father, praying to the Father, he says, Abba, which is a very intimate way of referring to his Father. It's, to us, it would be like Daddy. Don't you love that? Any of you daddies, do you love hearing that word, daddy? Well, first, I remember when the girls were little and when they first started saying words, and when they finally were able to form the word daddy. What an awesome thing that is. Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. There it is again, that relationship to the Father, yet the obedience to the Father. And even when he was resurrected, he's met by Mary after he's resurrected, and here's what he says. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers, relationship, and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. We have been adopted in as sons and daughters into this family. Do you believe that? Do you walk in that? Do you walk as a child of the King? I mean, do you walk in your daily life feeling like I'm a child of the King? Or do we walk around and listen to the voice of the enemy that says, you're worthless. you're worthless. Nobody could love you. You're not good enough. You don't measure up. That's the voice of the enemy. God says, you are my child, and I'm well pleased. You are worth the cross. Listen to Romans. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. You are his child. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. There it is again. The same prayer that Jesus prayed, Abba, Father, Daddy. That's the prayer that we can pray. Abba, Father, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Do you wonder if you're saved? Do you wonder if you're saved, you're going to heaven? Listen to that again. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There is this assurance that comes from the Spirit of God. When we have the Spirit of God, you have to have it. Ask. If you don't know, ask. I want to receive your Spirit. I want to be saved from my sins. And you ask that, and I'm just telling you, for me, and it's not because I'm a good old boy, I know I'm a child of the King. I know I'm going to heaven. And again, it's not because of anything I've done. In fact, it's in spite of the things I have done. Because God's Spirit has testified to my spirit that I am redeemed. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. You know, I talked to you a few months ago, Cheryl and I, and nothing's come of this except just more thought and more discussion and more prayer, but how we had actually thought that perhaps God was calling us to adopt an older child, a young teenage type child or something, and we're seeing if that's in God's plan for us, and we still don't know. But one of the things that the practical things you consider in that is, like, if you bring another child and adopt them into your family, then now you have another heir. I mean, that's part of the cost, if you will, of inviting someone into your family and adopting them in, putting your name on them and saying, they belong to me, they're part of my family, then suddenly they are entitled to your estate. Do we feel that way with Christ? God has chosen. He's chosen to adopt us into his family, and so we are therefore heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. You see, Jesus loved his Father, and he was an obedient son. Second thing, Jesus loved and blessed children. Now, those are two very distinct things, because I wanted to separate loved and blessed. Sometimes I think we love and we forget the blessing part. And one of the things, parents, one of the things that should be high on our list as parents is to encourage and bless our children. For us to convey to them that you are priceless. You are my child. And to encourage them. And so many times I see situations where what children get, and I see our youth group full of this, and many of them don't go to our church, and so if you want to say, well, it's not me, it's those other people. But so many of our youth aren't getting that. They don't know that they're precious. They don't know that someone loves them no matter what. Because, I mean, it's just, guys, the more I get to know some of the circumstances of our youth, the more my heart breaks. These kids, you know, they're sixth graders, and they got moms and dads split, and half-brothers and step-brothers, and people that, you know, had drug addictions in prison, and, I mean, just, they're 12 years old, contemplating suicide. Are we blessing our children? Are we encouraging our children? Now, I want to tell you, I just want to say right now, Kirby and Jordan, I bless you. If you have never felt blessed by me, if I've ever done anything that has discouraged you, I'm sorry. I want you girls to know that y'all are priceless to me. The children were coming to Jesus. And it says the people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. See, that was the purpose. I just want him to touch my child and bless him. And the disciples were like, this is an important man here. He's busy. He doesn't have time for these children. He doesn't have time to bless them. And they were rebuking the parents. And Jesus rebuked the disciples and said, let the little children come to me. You see the heart of Jesus for children? Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, if anyone will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, they will never enter it. And he, listen to this, and he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Moms, dads, are we blessing our children? I know sometimes they're knuckleheads. Were you ever a knucklehead? I was. I mean, I didn't deserve to live through childhood. I'm knocking holes in the wall and, you know, being late, mom, dad, be home by dark. And I'd come home 15 minutes past dark because I just didn't want to quit playing football. And I'd come home and I pulled a muscle on the way home and I was, you know, I was a knucklehead. But I know my mom and dad blessed me. They also paddled my behind, but that's another sermon. By the way, you can bless and paddle at the same time. It is possible. I'd never felt abused by my parents because I know everything they did for me, the motive was love. Jesus loved and blessed the children, and God is calling us to do the same. Third thing, Jesus died for his bride. I want that statement to soak in for a second. If you're a husband here this morning and you feel like that statement's getting in your face, good. I want it to get in our face. Jesus died for his bride. I remember, and most of y'all have heard this, especially if you've been in any of our marriage classes, but Cheryl and I married really young, and I tell people, and she would agree, we were just total idiots. She grew out of it, me not so much. But we, 18 and 19, I mean, I barely knew how to tie my shoes. And by the grace of God, we've made it 31 and a half years. But I just want to tell you that for the first 10 years of that, I was a total self-absorbed punk. All I cared about was Jeff Hatcher and making sure I presented myself a certain way in certain situations. But, you know, I wanted to look the part, but I wasn't loving my bride. And she was yearning for it. Ephesians 5, it says, husbands, love your wives the way Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. There's this laying down for your bride, this humbling yourself. And it doesn't say, by the way, love your wives if she deserves it. And it doesn't say love your wives if they love you back. Or love you first. And you've heard me say this before if you've been here very long, but do you think Jesus, as he was loving his bride, he loved his bride like this? That's how he loved his bride. He stretched out his arms and he took some nails. Do you think he felt like loving his bride at that moment? There was a sacrificial laying down of oneself. That's what loving your bride means. That's what loving your wife the way Christ loved the church. And I'll tell you, and you ladies, if any of you disagree with this, if this is not at the very core and essence of who you are as a woman and as a wife, then you can come tell me later. And I invite you to do that. But I believe at the core of every wife is this very intimate need of feeling treasured. Feeling like that man would walk over burning coals for me. He would do anything in the world for me. Wives, if that's not what, if that's not there, if that's not deep inside of you, come tell me what is. I want to learn. Teach me. I am the clay. You are the potter. Teach me. But I believe that's the very core, the very essence of wives. And now we're now wives. You're over there going, yeah. You tell him, Jeff. Now, buckle your seatbelt, wives. Because God doesn't stop there. He doesn't. It's not this one-sided plan. He goes on and he says, wives, honor and respect your husband. Honor and respect your husband. And men, y'all come tell me too if this is not right. But I was when I was young, I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue about Cheryl. I didn't have a clue about me. I just wanted to have fun. I didn't have a clue about anything. But I've learned over the years that the very core, the very essence of me is this need to feel admired by my wife, to be honored and respected by my wife. And so I just want to tell you that my wife does the greatest job of that any woman could do. She's my biggest fan. She's my biggest supporter. And I tell people, sometimes she gives me this look. Sometimes she gives me lots of looks, and I don't want to talk about those today. And I know what the looks mean. One look says, you better shape up. But she gives me this other look. And it's this look, and she's just, sometimes I'm sitting there in my recliner, and she's over in her chair, and she's just, and I'm reading a paper or something, and I feel something, feel eyeballs. And I look over, and she's just giving me this look. It's just this kind of this. And the look says, I'm proud of you. You're a good man. And I want to tell you, I just want to rip my shirt off and have an S underneath there when she does that. But then that'd get real ugly. You don't have to visualize that. It's okay. You know, fishing waiters, maybe that'd help some of you. But no, it's another. That was a long time ago. But just a look can send my heart soaring because I know that my bride loves me and I know that she's proud of me and she's honoring me. And I just want to tell you that many times I don't deserve that. But it doesn't say God's plan is not honor and respect your husband if they're worthy of that. It says honor and respect them. Love your wives the way Christ loved the church. Honor and respect your husband. This is love. I want to read to you. This is love. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. God says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church so that you can present them flawless and blameless. Are you making your wife all she can be? That's one of the things, it's one of my goals, and I know I don't do it nearly as well as I can, but one of the goals is I want my wife to be all that God has created her to be. And I want to be an encourager for that. And I want my children to be all that God has created them to be. And I want them to know their daddy and their husband love them. How are we doing, church? You've heard me. I think I even told this story not long ago, but it's relevant again. came home from my walk to Emmaus 21 years ago. And I went out there to that camp, and I was kind of just this broken guy. Now I went out there and God just loved on me, and He redeemed me, and He gave me a new passionate love for my family. And I came home, and the girls were 4 and 2, little bitty things. And I remember gathering them up in my arms, and we just sat on the couch, and I just gathered them in my arms, and I just wept because I got it. This is a precious family. That's a precious lady that you're married to. And I just wept. And Kirby was 4, and she looked up at me, and so innocent, and she said, "Daddy, why are you crying?" And I said, "Daddy's just happy. Daddy's just happy." How we doing, church? How we doing at being convincing proofs that Christ is alive in our family? I want to challenge you. Now, I want to say that I recognize we're not all married, and I also recognize that we don't all have children, and I also recognize that some of our loved ones have gone before us, and they're with Jesus. But I've seen people who've lost a father 40 years ago, and there was unresolved issues between them and their father. And 40 years later, I've seen them come to peace with that through the power of God. So who you're dealing with and what God wants to do in your life is really irrelevant to are these folks still walking physically on the earth, or have they gone before you? I want to challenge you this week. This is part of our 40 days of being convincing proofs. I want to challenge you this week, and I want to hear back from some of you. I want to hear back from some of you. I want to pressure you to do it, to go home and love your family. Learn something, find creative ways to express your love to your family. And one of the ways that I want to encourage you to do it is to write a letter. Write a letter to your parents. If they're deceased, write it anyway. And if you need to forgive them, forgive them. If you need to tell them something that you didn't get to tell them before, tell them. If they're alive, get those letters in their hands. Write a letter to your children. Same scenario. Write a letter to your spouse. Express. I want to tell you, when I lost Jay, it's been 11 years ago, when I lost Jay, macho guys, you know, I don't know that I had ever in my whole life, I was around 40 years old when we lost Jay. I don't know that I had ever told Jay I love him. I mean, he knew it and I knew it, but I don't know that I'd ever told him that. Well, I want to tell you, when I was looking at him in the hospital, those words just came flooding out of my heart. I love you, Jay. Don't wait for a moment like that. Tell those in your life how you feel about it. Confess your shortcomings. Man, it's amazing. When we confess things, how much grace people have. When we go in and go, "Well, I know I did this, but you really did." That's not it. But to go and just say, "You know, I know I've been lousy at this, and I want to do better. And I, you know, even in the midst of me being lousy at all these things, I want you to know I love you." Just humble ourselves and love your family this week. If the praise team would come forward, I want to give you an opportunity as we close today. I want to give you an opportunity if you need to come to the altar and have some time. And I really sense that God is stirring us. Because I know what I'm telling you today is challenging us. It's challenging us. It's not easy. Sometimes the people that are closest to us, that we care the most for, it's hardest to get those words out to those folks than it is to people that are just kind of casual acquaintances. Isn't that funny? So I understand that God is pressing us to maybe a new place here this morning. And so I just want to, and Billy and the praise team, they're going to play until we're done. But I want to offer the altar rail to you. You can pray in your seat. If you want me to pray with you, and if our prayer people, they have the blue tags on, if y'all kind of make yourself kind of available, if you want someone to pray with you, so come as you feel led.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry.
Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." Now, I don't know about y'all, but I consider myself a little child in his arms. So go and receive. He's asking for you to come to him. Go and receive and go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.